Okay, we'll be in chapter what?
17.
We're getting down on this thing, ain't we? Okay, I'll read it first. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying to me, "Come hither, and I will show you to you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet... Ooh, I just seen something. A scarlet-collared beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet collar, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said to me, "Wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And these are seven kings. Five are fallen. Then there are seven kings. Five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour from the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. And he said to me, "The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdoms unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Now we'll go back and see what's in there. And there came, or literally there appeared, one of the seven angels or messengers, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying to me, "Come here." Just a minute, I need to make a mark here. Okay. "Come hither," or "come here, and I will show to you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." Now, there's a bunch in this first thing here. And there appeared out of the seven, one of the seven messengers, which had the seven vials, and talked with. You think that word "with" is right?
It's meta.
It's in the midst of me. So where's all this taking place? It's inside of us. And he's just exposing what you will, at some point in your life, you'll start to understand these things, because it's going on inside of us. As long as we look for it out there, we'll never get there. We have to realize that everything in this book, and some of them, I don't understand yet, and you don't understand yet, because it's not yet our time. When it's our time, it'll come about, and we'll understand it. Don't mean we quit trying to find out as much as we can, but when it's time, it'll be there. they talked in the midst of me and saying to me, come here, and I will show to you the judgment. Now, what is judgment?
Justice or decision, positive or negative.
It's a positive or negative decision, okay? Now, what do you think God's judgment is?
Positive.
It's positive, even to the people that were negative. Mm-hmm. Even the people on this earth that were used in the negative round, everything he does is to correct them. Is that not right? Mm-hmm. It's not punitive, it's corrective. So, the judgment of the great whore. And what is this great whore?
Soul.
It's the soul, the female side of us. It's our emotional stuff. That sits upon the many waters. Now, many waters. What did we read over in verse
10 or something like that?
Verse 15, is it? Yeah.
15.
And he said to me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes, nations and tongues. So, what's the whore sitting on?
Religious system, which is in your mind.
It's your mind. Okay. Sitting on the, it's not many. The word probably there is poulos anyway. But it makes no difference, is it, poulos?
Yeah.
Okay. But even many could be classified as all too, couldn't it? Hey,
yeah,
how many are there in the world?
Yeah.
Everybody has a stake.
Yeah. And so when he said, on many waters, tell me where the whore didn't sit. It says the whole world lies in deception.
Yeah.
So guess where she's sitting? On the whole world. So even the greatest man or man of God or woman of God in the world, at one time or another, weren't very sharp. They didn't understand what they did when they come to maturity. Isn't that true?
Sure.
Those waters, she'd say, it's like the mind of humanity in each one of us.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. The many waters was it? He tells you was these peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And this great whore, you know, a lot of people try to say that is Babylon. Okay.
That takes it externally.
And it does. Try to say the church is the whore. No.
And the people in
it's,
the church.
It's not. It's what's in each individual's mind. That's the whore. When my emotions, when my female side is in my control, guess what I am? I'm a whore. And the key about a whore is not to having sex with a whole bunch of people. That's not what we're talking about.
Unfaithful.
They're being unfaithful to God.
To the self.
Say you're more driven to be faithful to a church system, a denomination, or something like that, but not to God. I've heard people say it in several different places. I don't care what God, the Bible says, if my church don't teach it and I don't believe it, and I've heard a woman say this, and if Jesus Christ himself came here and said it, I still wouldn't believe it because my church don't teach it that way. I mean, it's stupid, yes, but that's what they believe. Are you going to change the way they believe? No. It's all right, let them be where they're supposed to be. If God wanted to be somewhere else, they'd be somewhere else, wouldn't they? It's not my call. It's not your call. We can't make it. We can't make our kids or partners or anything. We can't change anybody. Our moms, dads, uncles. We can't change them.
Can't force them.
If God wants them to, they'll come and beg for it. Right?
Yeah.
He said, if you ask, you'll receive. So, you know what? If they ain't asking, ain't much you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, he goes on and says, with, and that word with right there
is Meta,
which is in the midst of whom the kings of the earth have committed, in the midst of who?
Me.
Mm-hmm. They have committed fornication, and the fornication is what? Not being faithful to the Christ within you. There's the unfaithful, and there's the fornication.
Mm-hmm.
that the idolatry or image worship is unfaithful?
It's the same thing. That's being unfaithful to God. Mm-hmm. You're being faithful to your image of what you think it is versus the image that God spoke to you. Mm-hmm. The Christ in you is the image that you should be paying attention to, not the image that your mind or them cherubim have built up in your mind.
Being faithful to a false image instead of
a true image. Absolutely. And the inhabitants, okay, what do you think the inhabitants of the earth are?
Thoughts.
Yeah. It's the Passover and Pentecostal experiences, okay, not talking about people. It's my Passover experience that I have idolized. How many people are, for lack of anything, Baptist, Methodist, you know, whatever, Passover experience, the dust covenants, okay, are satisfied to be just there, are they not? Mm-hmm. Churches are full of them. You see, that's their opinion that's the earth, that's the inhabitant of the earth. Blessed are they that's not inhabiting the earth, you know what I mean? The inhabitants of the earth are the ones that live in the earth realm, and here's the earth realm, right here. Okay. And in their mind, they're saying the Passover and Pentecostal experiences is all I need. I don't need anything else.
They don't want to go.
No, because they think they've arrived. Okay. And everybody that goes through has done that to some extent. We thought we had it going on when we got through that Passover experience. And then when Pentecost comes, oh, buddy, now we're in the tall cotton. And then God said, lay that toy down because I got something better for you. Now we're going to tabernacles. We're going to the star covenant. We're going to the heavenlies. We're going to the higher realm in God. And the ones that are committed to stay to the earth, they're going to be there. Nothing we can do about it. But they have been made drunk with the wine of her unfaithfulness, her idolatry. Okay? Now, look what it says. They have been made drunk with the wine of hers. Now, all those stories, first of all, let me ask you about a drunk. What is it with a drunk? They're uninhibited. They'll say and do anything. Whatever they think comes right out their mouth. They don't reserve anything, do they? They don't hold it back. And see, sometimes that can be a plus because the scriptures talk about being as a drunk at times.
Okay. It's constantly... The thoughts inside of you is constantly drunken because they want to keep you from finding out who you truly are.
The truth of everything. So, but they're made drunk with the wine of her idolatry. And see, that's the... People love when they think they're right. They fight you for it. Even though they don't have anything to substantiate what they say they believe, they'll fight you over it. I mean, literally, they'd go to Fifth City with you. It's ridiculous, but that's the way it is. We had to fight through it. We have to fight through that thing. And say, no, I will not accept what you're trying to make me drink of.
Isn't that kind of like shattered boxing?
Well, yeah, there's nothing there to hit, is there? But it's in your mind, but you think it's there. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Oh, it's got a lot of emotions wrapped up in that.
Sure it is.
It keeps you kind of off really thinking.
That's what the whore is all about. Keep you off base. See, that carnal, that fleshly side of your person, that emotional side, which is out of control with most people, their emotions control them, not them controlling their emotions. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman, okay, set upon a scarlet beast. It's humanity. Let me read you something in Isaiah. Isaiah 1, 18. And it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword," the word of God, "for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." How has the faithful city become a harlot? There's Isaiah going through that whole chapter. But that's what he's talking about. He's talking about it back there, verifying it back here. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing, I think.
So it's not a color, is that? Talking about sinful nature.
Scarlet, though, you know, though sins be as scarlet, mm-hmm. like you just said back here, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the sin nature.
Okay.
And scarlet is almost a blood color.
Yeah.
You give it life.
Huh?
You give it life.
Yeah. It said, the woman sets upon a scarlet colored beast. What is the beast?
It's the
natural man, you know, the main natural thinking, full of names of blasphemy. What is that word name? Sonoma. It's the natures. It's full of the natures of blasphemy. Having what? Seven heads and 10 horns. And back in Revelation 13, it says, "I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having the seven heads and 10 horns," and about the crowns and everything. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. It had spots. That means it wasn't pure. And we're supposed to be without spot or wrinkle. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. It's ferocious. Their lifestyle is ferocious. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And that it would be, let me see here now, cruel. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Okay. Isn't that the way religion does out of us? I mean, when religion deals in us, we become ferocious. We start thinking we can be judges and juries and and executioners of people because they don't think like we think. That's what religion does. Yeah. Thank God we've come past that place. And there's people in all different facets of that. Up and down through the religious society. And we're not supposed to judge them in that. That's just their place. It's not mine. Thank God I come out of it. I'm just glad that I don't have to be the sheriff. Yeah.
So, there's seven heads and 10 horns.
Seven's perfection. 10's law.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't it talking about that beast right there? Wouldn't it be the seven, like the sevenites?
Same as the sevenites out of Deuteronomy 7:1.
Ten horns, wouldn't it be like
the law?
The law
of the Old Testament, of the natural man.
The horns given, that'd be her
authority. Power and authority.
So it would be the Solicites getting its power and authority from those ites and the.
That's the natural man, the natural thinking process.
And those 10 horns, it's the law, it's its authority, the law of Moses.
Absolutely.
So, and that's what they're using to judge and criticize, condemn everybody.
They think they have a right to do it.
I mean, I was just make sure I was thinking correctly.
Cool. No problem. And it says, so we got, what was the last one we did? We did four?
Three.
And the woman was arrayed in purple. What's purple speak of?
Royalty,
wealth, you know. And scarlet collars, you know, and that scarlet being the sin. And the word collar isn't even really there. It's just arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations, right, and filthiness of her fornication. Now, what do you think all this means? Let's go back and look at it. The woman, we know what that is. That's the emotional, soulish side, right? Mm-hmm. It's inside. And arrayed in purple and scarlet. Those are just marks of royalty, you know. They think they're royal.
I'm seeing you shined up the outside, but you're not right.
That's exactly where it is. That's exactly what it is. They got all this stuff on the outside, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations or the idolatry and filthiness of her idolatry. That's all it is. It's not the church. We gotta make sure we get this thing straight, because we'll step right back into that judgment of the system of man, which we're not here to judge that right now. But we gotta realize we gotta judge within ourselves.
Yeah.
That what this is. It's the stuff within us.
This is all internal.
It's all internal. We gotta judge ourselves in this. Okay? We gotta judge ourselves in this thing about making ourselves pretty on the outside and the inside's full of all kinds of abominations.
Mm-hmm. Being disciplined to hear God and not listen to the emotions and all these ten horns and seven eights, basically.
Right. Yeah. And upon her forehead, now what would that be?
Her mind.
That's her mind. Was a nature written, not a name, but a nature written. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, right? Mother of adultery, and abominations of the earth. Now, what's that telling you? Abominations of the earth.
So faithful, and it's...
In the first two realms, the Passover and Pentecostal experiences that I go through, where are they at? They're part of the abominations of the earth. Nothing goes into the Holy of Holies but what? Pure spirit. See, so as long as we live in that Passover and Pentecostal experience, we're mixture. Okay? And we got to come into this other realm of knowing the truth, unadulterated truth. We can't mix it with anything out of that outside thinking process, my natural side. Can't use that. You can't use that at all, because when you do, you're slipping right back to the earth.
Hi.
Okay? Anytime we work from the soulish side, there's one thing we're going to guarantee, and it says it right there. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots or adultery and abominations. It equals confusion. Okay?
And we're satisfied with it.
Yeah. Well, as long as we live in our Passover and Pentecostal experience individually, we'll be satisfied with it. But when God calls you, you know what? He didn't call you to come out halfway. He calls you to come out from Him and be a separate people. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, "And I saw the woman," that's the soul, "drunken with the blood of the saints." You know how many times we have killed people in our minds, in our thought processes, by our words?
Oh, shoot.
Huh?
Yeah.
We have. We've verbally we have assaulted so many, it's unreal. And that's what he's talking about here. And the church world gets high on it because they feel superior to somebody else. See, the religious realm and the Passover and Pentecostal realm, they're still under the law.
That's condemnation.
That's where the church teaches God's righteous, and He's so righteous He has to judge you and put you in hell because you sinned. See, they're drunk on the blood of the saints. "And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the messenger said to me," I missed something in that sixth verse about the drunken with the blood of the saints. When people, even in the natural, when someone kills somebody, a lot of people say, "I felt a rush out of it." See, because it's power over somebody. And that's what the drunken woman did. She had power over them with that blood on her.
She has power over you.
Well, I'm talking about the person, but it's inside of you, you know. So this is all internal. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, the soul inside of me, and the beast," okay, that's the humanity that carried her, which, or the one that has the seven heads and the ten horns. It's on the earth realm. As long as I'm in the earth realm, I've got that seven and ten, the seven heads. You know, anything in life that ever lived with more than one head, it don't work. Yeah. But that's humanity. And that seven, going back, just like you said a while ago, Lloyd, to the sevenites in the land.
Yeah, that's all of it. Yeah. Man, that's a confused, messed up place to be.
You better believe it.
And it can sneak up so easily and
slap you right upside the head and take over before you know what happened.
Yeah.
That's why we have to be disciplined in the things we say. And like I said, we can be talking about something spiritual, and next minute we'll be wading right into dust and sand again.
God, how did I get here?
Yeah. Verse 8, "The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." And I know in another chapter, I just thought about it just now, 20 or 21. And it's not that either. Yeah. No, that's not it. We already passed that one. I can't put my mind on it right now. About the one ascending out of the bottomless pit. And go to perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, the beast that you saw that is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. What is the bottomless pit?
It's your carnal mind.
It's your mind. It ascends out. It sends out this thing, the bottomless pit. Anything can come out of there. It's anything.
You put the rock on
it. Yeah. And into perdition or destruction, and they that dwell on the earth. What do you think that is?
Dwell in your head.
The dust and the sand. Yeah. As long as we dwell on the earth. Okay, that's the dust and sand thinking.
They won't go past it.
Well, for whatever reason, they won't go past, whether they don't want to or they can't. That's
yeah.
As long as they're there, they shall dwell. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They'll be amazed at this this beast and the woman whose name. They'll wonder whose names were not written in. Okay. And it says, literally, it's upon. It's not E-N. It's upon. Okay. Not written upon the book of the life of the founded from the foundation of the world. Now, the book whose name were not written. See, until you know who you are, you can say, "Oh, my name's written in the Lamb's book of life." But until you know who you are, do you really?
You don't believe it.
No, you don't really believe it. You're saying it because the church world has taught you to say things like that. It's little cliches.
Well, that, and, I mean, they wouldn't have to keep going up to the altar and getting saved.
That's what I'm saying. They don't believe it. See? But once you know who you are, you know your identity, would you ever have to have somebody come back and say, "Hey, do you know who you are?" Mm-hmm. You know who you are, don't you? Mm-hmm. See, you got confidence that they cannot understand. You have a peace they can't understand. You have authority they don't understand. Because they're not where they think they are. They're still in the dust and the sand. They're still dwelling on the earth. But when we get into the Star Covenant, into the higher realm, they don't understand us because we're different. That's why he said we're aliens and sojourners in the land. We don't talk like, look like, act like anything like these people that dwell on the earth. Yeah. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're strangers in the land.
Aliens.
Huh?
Aliens.
We're aliens, absolutely. And here is the mind which has wisdom, it says, verse 9. And the seven heads are seven mountains or seven kingdoms on which the woman sits. Okay? How many kingdoms?
Seven.
Deuteronomy 7, 1 again.
Right.
The Sevenites. We can laugh about it, but it's the truth. And she controls. When she sits on them, you know, she has control over them. And these are, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. These are all those ites in the land that have to be dealt with progressively as we go through. And he even tells you that, guess what? There are seven kings, five have already fallen. One is kind of in control when there's another one coming, and he's got to continue for a short space. That means he ain't going to be around for long, is he?
Is that five? Is that our natural census?
That's the things that he's already taken care of. The five kings he's already taken care of.
Is this like the five that the woman was at the well was married to, right?
Sure.
The hearing, the seeing, the
taste. It's tied through everything, isn't it?
Why do you think this one is and one is not yet come?
Yeah. That's just what he just said right there. Here's what they are. He just told you what they were right there. There's five of them already been dealt with. When he went to the cross, he dealt with those things.
Yeah.
And there's one right now we got to deal with. And there's one yet to come. We got to deal with it too for a short space. That's not meaning we haven't arrived there yet either. It's just saying that's the way this is written before it started. This is the pattern that's going to go through. He went to the cross and made us in right standing. Now we have to get ourselves delivered from this thing up here. See, yeah. He made it where we can get free because the sevenites in the land are stronger and mightier than you.
Yeah.
He took care of those out of the way.
Yeah, he has to take care of it.
He got them out of the way. Now you've got to get your thinking delivered. That's what it's all about. And the beast that was and is not, and even he is the eighth for a new beginning. And is of the seven, the perfection of God, and goes into destruction. See, all these things are going to pass through, aren't they? It's all stages that we go through. Eight different stages we go through. And the ten horns, that's the law in the mind, which thou sawest, are ten kings, which have received no kingdom, no authority to rule or anything, okay, as yet, but receive power as kings, okay. It's an image, but it's not real, as kings. They didn't receive any power, but they'll receive it for 1 hour, or a limited amount of time, and that word with the beast is Meta, in the midst of the beast. So when they're associated with that beast, when I'm associated with this beast system in my head, the natural thinking process, then my authority is from that beast in all the realms that I work in, everything I work in.
Your emotions run wild.
Everything is in control of that beast. See, it's all an internal thing. Every bit of it. And look what it says in 13. These have one mind. The natural mind. And shall give their power and strength to the beast.
My Amplified says, these have one common opinion or purpose, and they will deliver their power and authority to the beast.
In Revelation 16:40 it says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth. You hear that? The kings of the earth. In Revelation 16:14. And of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. They, the righteous, can see the shame of the ones that are exposed.
Yeah.
And he, God, gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Them is the unclean spirits. Okay? And to a place called Armageddon. It's a crossroad in the plain of Megiddo. It's a strategic military site. It's a spiritual thing. Armageddon is this battle within us. And there's a strategic crossroad we're going to come to at some time in our life when we have to make a decision to get away from this thinking process. Not war. It's a strategic thing for God to take care of. It's a crossroads in our life. And a crossroad, when the word's used as an analogy, like at a crossroads, it's saying there's a decision to be made. Does it not? When I come to a crossroad in my life, there's a decision. Which path am I taking?
Are you going to let the whore continue to rule you? Or are you going
to let the Christ? Are you going to let the man inside of you rule? The Christ. Okay. And that's what Armageddon is. It's about what's going on in here. Okay. Where did I leave off there?
Was it June 13?
I think you finished 13.
Yeah. And these shall make war the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Imagine that. The Lamb, see, everybody thinks that's Jesus, the Lamb out there.
It's us.
Hello, it's the Lamb inside of you. It's the Christ within you. The Lamb shall overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they are what? With Mita in the midst of him, and are called and chosen and faithful. See, if we are in the, see, it's not us, it's not about Christ being in us, but he said they will be in him, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I am in Christ, you gonna jump up and slap me in the face without hitting him? See where the protection comes from? I'm in him. It's not about me, is it? It's about him. And that's what we have to see these things and know that there's battle. Hell, everybody on the face of the earth is going through battles, aren't they? But what's the point of their battle when they won't do nothing about it? They're sitting spinning their wheels. They're in quicksand, can't get out. But they are called and they are chosen and they're faithful because he knew which ones would be. He didn't call somebody.
Yeah.
He didn't choose somebody that was unfaithful.
So that's first fruit.
That's definitely first fruit inside of ourselves. But we got to see that. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the whore, okay, the female side there, the unfaithful, the idolatry, which you saw where the whore sit are peoples, multitudes, and nations and tongues. What's he telling you? Unfaithfulness is in where?
Everything.
Everyone. Everyone. She sits on everybody. It's not just one person. It's not just one nation. See? It's in everybody. And the ten horns that the rulers of the mind, the law, which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate, literally persecute, okay, upon that beast, and that beast being what? Your humanity. And these shall actually persecute the whore, or the soul, and shall make her desolate and naked. She'll be exposed for what she is. And shall what? Consume her flesh, her fleshly thoughts, and burn her with fire, or consume her. So it's going to be, they're taking that whore and eating what she is. True? They're consuming her thoughts. They're consuming her fleshly thinking. They're consuming her whole body with fire. They're trying to purify something that cannot be purified. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. It cannot get there. But that's what everybody's trying to do. They're trying to make themselves holy and righteous, and it's impossible. The only thing that can enter the kingdom is pure spirit. So we can't, we got to leave that alone with this stuff. The book says it clearly in Ecclesiastes. We all go to one place Ecclesiastes 3:20. 6 and 6 says the same thing. All go to one place. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, talking about when we die, the dust returns to the earth and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Okay? That's it. Only thing going back to God is the spirit, which is within you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Verse 17. Because God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom, their place of rulership, to the beast until, and that beast is what? My natural humanity, my natural way of thinking. Until, and it's that means it's limited. So they give their power and authority, everything, until. That means there's an end to it somewhere, doesn't it? It's just until. Until the words of God shall be fulfilled, or another way of saying it is, till the words of God are finished. What did he say on the cross?
Finished.
Huh. Okay. So, guess what about that beast and his kingdom?
It's done.
It's already been defeated. The battle's over. The battle was the Lord's. It's not. There's no battle to it anymore. It's over with. And the woman which you saw was who? It was our natural thinking process. Okay? The woman, the natural thinking, which you saw is the great city, Babylon, which reigns over the kings of the earth. The great city, Babylon. And it says they reign over the kings of the earth. What kings are we talking about?
The ones you give place to. Well,
no, the ones that live in the earth, in the earthly realms. Dust and sand. Passover, Pentecost. See, that's the earthly thinking. And as long as they live in those realms, they can't accomplish anything. They're bound to the beast because they've given their power to the beast, which is the natural person. I mean, every time I look at this stuff, it goes deeper and deeper. It blows me away. I mean, I'm amazed. It's not about what we do, it's what we accept that He's done. It's finished. It's done.
It's not the scary doom and gloom.
No.
They try and make it out to be.
Now, what, Lisa, what has been scary about this book?
Nothing, but you got to understand what it's really saying.
That's the whole thing.
The only thing that's doomed is your
yourself.
Carnal thoughts.
Your carnal thoughts, your carnal way of thinking. They're already doomed. As long as we think they're in control, guess what they are?
They are.
It said we give, as long as we're in the Passover and Pentecostal realms in our thinking process, we're going to give our power to that beast, and that beast will just whoop us silly every day. But as soon as we come out of that earth realm into the star covenant, it has no more effect on you.
Yeah.